Got a few people that are going to come and just give you a quick snapshot of what they saw and experienced in Tribulation Trail. So if you're going to give a testimony, just come on now. And we don't want anybody to feel bad. We realize not everybody could be involved in Tribulation Trail. You had other stuff going on or just for various reasons you could, but we don't want you to miss out. So these are just some snapshots of some people that they saw, that they experienced, and they all got 1 minute. 59 seconds. And so they're just going to give you a quick glimpse of what God did and what they experienced during Tribulation Trail. So let's go ladies first, and then we'll do guys.
All right, everybody just got behind me, so I guess I'll go first. Thank you. God is powerful, and God is a God of second chances. So I'm from the Donut crew. We do donuts. And I never knew you could pray so much for donuts. but God wants us to pray about everything, right? Last Friday night, we showed up and started frying donuts. And they were so ugly. They looked like they'd been through the tribulation, quite literally. And we had prayed before we got started, but I felt like we needed to pray all together about the donuts, you know, get together and all do it. And I was not bold enough to get everybody together and do that. We didn't do that. So I got a little bit humbled, got called to the principal's office on Saturday, and Mr. Purvis helped me with that dough. And we had a good night on Saturday night. We had good donuts. And so we went into this weekend feeling great. Well, that we didn't have any power. There's no power to the fryers. So we got together. I got my second chance, and we suggested praying together. So we prayed that God would fix the fryers, that could give us power if he wanted us to serve donuts, and that if he didn't, that was okay, and we would have wisdom to be hospitable to our guests if he didn't want us to give donuts. And Matt asked me to give a testimony, and I was reading when he did, and the verses, it was Psalm 115, and it says, "Our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." Well, Mr. Purvis came and told me that there was nothing we could do to fix that power, and he knows everything about these buildings. And so I believed him. But then Michael the Archangel Garner came in and found a breaker that Mr. Purvis didn't know existed. And he flipped that, and we had power. And God gave us the best night of donuts that we could have had, two nights. And I want to praise him for that, because in Psalm 115:18 it says, "But we will bless the Lord from this time forth forever. Evermore, praise the Lord. He is good." And our prayer for those donuts is that somebody would get saved after coming through the trail and be able to come and celebrate and have a sweet opportunity to tell their friends and family that they are now part of the family of God. So praise the Lord for what he's done and letting us be a part of it. And if anybody needs donuts, we've got some in the freezer.
I had the opportunity to speak with a young married lady last night, and when I asked her why she raised her hand, she started talking about her journey, and she kept coming back to the term, "my journey, my journey." And I finally said to her, I said, "It's not about the journey. It is about a specific moment in time, a specific place when you trusted Jesus to save you." I shared my testimony with her of my time, my place. And I saw this look of recognition come over her face, and she said, "Oh, I was at a ladies' conference back in May in Raleigh when I trusted Jesus." She had a time and a place, and that was what she needed. But she said, "I still feel unforgiven." So we went right to 1 John 1:9. I explained to her that confessing means to say the same thing about your sin that God says about it, and that he would forgive your sins even if you were the only person on earth. And I likened the cleansing that he gives when we confess to taking a daily bath, a daily shower, because yesterday's shower is not good for Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And again, she just, you could see her understanding this in her face. And she said, "Thank you for making it so simple." She walked away from the tribulation trail with assurance of her salvation, understanding the need for confessing and forsaking sin and the forgiveness that you get. And she said to me, "Thank you for making it so simple." And I said, "You know, it is simple. It's not rocket science. God is using people, and it is simple."
So this is my first year at the counseling tents, and it was a privilege to be there. But I can also say that you guys on the trail are just as much a part of every single salvation, every single decision, because I have been there and know that I felt like I was just reaping all that you sowed. But last night, God gave me the privilege to meet with a 19-year-old girl, and it was kind of coincidental and only something that God can do, because we know there are no coincidences with him. But she raised her hand in such a way that I could not see her raising her hand. I could only see that the guy beside her was raising his hand. So I was calling the guys forward to come and meet with him. And Travis was like, "Trinity." And he was pointing to her. And so I reached her and him first. And I tapped her on the shoulder. And she said, "No, I don't want to go." And so, of course, you know, we don't make them come out with us. But the guy beside her had opened his eyes during that exchange with her. And he was like, "Let's go." You know, and so they both got up and came out with us. So anticipating that, she probably wasn't so enthusiastic about talking with me. I said, "There's no pressure. I just want to walk you through what the Bible says, since you raised your hand, that you were not sure that you were saved." So we sat down together, and I went through the Romans Road with her. And all the time she's saying, "I'm pretty sure I've already done this." And we'd had quite a few of those who wanted just reassurance of their salvation, and I'm not there to talk you out of your salvation. I was there to just tell you what the Bible says, and then you can tell me what you feel like God has done in your life. So once we got done with the Romans Road, she was pretty solid on the fact that she thought she had done that. So we went through the assurances of our salvation. We talked about being close to the Lord and how when we let sin come in between us and God, we cannot feel close to him and we don't have that fellowship. So we start filling out her card, and I'm just filling out her personal information. And she starts looking at the side column where it says, "What decision has this person made?" And she said, "You know," and tears were coming down her face. She said, "You know, don't think that if I had to look back at it, that I actually knew what I was doing when I said that prayer when I was young. I don't think I understood it. I could tell God was working on her." And so I was like, "Okay, I think what you're telling me is you would like to know that you know that you know, and let's go through the salvation message again." So we went back through the Romans Road, and she's like, "Yes, I want to do that tonight." So we prayed together, and she got up with the biggest smile on her face and crying, and she gave me a hug, and she was so excited. I was excited. We got out and kind of waited for her boyfriend to come out with Samuel, and Samuel came up to me after they walked away and said, "Did she get saved?" And I said, "Yes, she did." He said, "Hallelujah," because her boyfriend had raised his hand because he was in a relationship with this young lady, and they were in sin together, And he wanted her to get saved. He recognized that she was not a Christian. And he asked her to come to this trail last night so that hopefully she would accept Christ as her Savior. He raised his hand to get right with the Lord, but also so that it would encourage her to be able to move from her seat. It's wonderful what God can do.
Hey, I'll give you some quick background. So Micah Smith, live in Carthage. My kids started going to school at Sand Hills Classical Christian School this year. One of them plays on the cross country team. And they had invited some friends to come along, and then turns out that the coach had interest in bringing his team out here. So they came out on Friday. So late Friday night, about 11:30, I got a text from that coach, sent it to Matt Barber, and then he asked me to share it today. So I'll just read it to you. So incredible, several exclamation points. 9 members from the team put their faith and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. 2 in particular clearly encountered the Holy Spirit working in them. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I loved how God set the whole thing up using y'all. He always does so much better when my planning doesn't get in the way. We had a wonderful time as a team and family. It wasn't me. It was the kids invited him. We have become friends, so we did talk to him a little bit and just explained like how the process worked. They weren't able to get on as a registered group, so because it was already full. So they just walked on early. Extremely impactful. So we saw them again Saturday morning at a basketball thing. And when I talked to him there, two things he shared in addition was the donuts were great. Like they couldn't get enough of the donuts. And then the other thing was the videos. He said the videos, the kids seeing highlights of what's actually in the news, like current relevant things, and then relating that to the message that was presented and the story of the end times and then getting the gospel at the end. He said the story told itself. So what really impacted me, again, kids being an example, it's just all it took was an invitation. And then the story told itself. And just thank y'all for being willing to do that and how it all ties together. Just want to encourage people, more in people and to myself, to invite others next year.
How's it going? So we were in scene 8. We were in hell this week. One of the best things that we had seen this week was the prayer inside of hell. Kind of got me thinking that some of the strongest prayers that are not going to be heard anymore are in hell right now. So for everybody's groups that came through, it was amazing. Some of my personal testimony first is we had came through as visitors the past couple years. And what a great blessing it is to be able to go through it on the wagon. But one of the last year, my personal testimony is that it played a huge role in my son being saved. So I'll be eternal grateful for everybody and the sacrifices that they make through Tribulation Trail. One of the things we kind of kicked off with every night was praying the devil out of hell this week. So some of the prayer that was going along during, you see some of the gals have speaking parts, but then you have the other members there that just head down waiting for that great white throne. So during that time, we had people praying for those speaking parts during the scene. So all the prayer warriors, even during the scene, is very impactful. So just wanted to share that. Thank you.
I'd just like to share an observation and a couple comments. First of all, I think you couldn't have asked for better weather. We were blessed with tremendous weather. It made the work much easier. This is a big church. I've been here several years, my wife and I, And when it comes to names of people, I don't always quite remember everybody's name, but I've realized that after attending and helping with Tribulation Trail, you get to meet more and more people of the congregation outside of just a Sunday morning service. And I met people that I knew in passing, and you see them in the hallway, in the aisles, exchange pleasantries. But when you work with a group of people, just like we have at this church, it's tremendously rewarding to see the emphasis that they put on making this a successful event. And I've got to know more people. I know their names. I'll probably forget a few names, but this church should be so proud of themselves as a whole, as a group, the volunteers, the sacrifices. And I saw that. I saw instances where we may have been needed a little help at a certain time of the night, and we might have been a little short-staffed. Someone would jump in from whatever they were doing and come help and assist. And that just makes our congregation stronger. And I look forward to working with this in years to come. I had two other just passing comments. I was fortunate enough to be in an area where I saw the guests as they would come in and as they would leave, and they're walking out the driveway. Some of them were somber because they got a real eye-opening of what the presentation was. Others had a great time, and I heard a passing comment, and I thought it was worthy of sharing it with you this morning, that, and it wasn't directed to me, I just happened to be standing there and overheard group of four, five, six people on the way out. And the person said to the other one, "Everyone here at Beulah is so friendly." And I thought, wow, that's a great impression. And it's because of all the hard work that the people put in. Another comment that I heard, this group is so organized. It's so well run. And they were astonished that it was like a well-oiled machine. And I just heard this in passing. It wasn't directed to me. So I thought, wow, if that isn't worth sharing with you this morning, I don't know what is, because people sacrificed and jumped in where needed, and it was dark, and people thought they had this assignment here and that assignment there, but when there was a need somewhere else, they were willing to jump in, and I'm proud to be a member of this congregation, and I'm proud to say that I have met more people in this church that is willing to help and call my church family. Thank you.
So Brother Matt shared in the beginning the total of people that came through and just how many wagons we had. And so we had a tremendous two weekends at Tribulation Trail. You just heard countless stories, and there are many more. I just wanted to brag just for a second on our counselors. Every service team deserves all the praise. But I just got to watch them firsthand for four nights, just enter into conversations that some are very challenging. And so they entered into some dark conversations, some exciting conversations, some depressing conversations. And so I believe we had over 20 counselors between the two counseling areas, and they all dealt with someone throughout the four nights. And just there's countless stories of lives that were changed, and so they did a great job. One in particular, I believe it was Brother Leo, who I can't remember exactly who he was talking to, but he led someone to the Lord, and the young boy just said, "Can I just give you a hug?" And so just the exciting joy of salvation on these people's faces as they left the counseling tent was phenomenal. And so they did a great job, so I'm just excited to be a part of that. But I wanted to share the totals with you. So last weekend, I believe the total was 80 decisions. So this weekend alone, we had 94 decisions for Christ over the past two nights. And so that brings for the two weekends 174 people whose lives were radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we celebrate that this morning. And so don't let it stop there. You pray for them. So some of the counselors, they wrote names down. They've got numbers to follow up with discipleship. But you as the church, there's 174 people that we know of whose lives was changed because of the gospel. And so pray for them. Satan's going to annihilate them. This week, Satan's going to try to talk them out of their salvation and tell them they're not saved. You pray for them. Our challenge to them as they left, you leave as a disciple-making disciple. You go out and share what you saw here. Take what you've just now received and go share it. And so let's be in prayer as a church family for those 174 people. And thank you for being a part in their lives being changed as you portrayed the gospel, you spoke the gospel, you served in countless ways. And so thank you. We all had a part to play in their lives being radically changed.
Psalm 145 in your Bibles this morning. Psalm 145. While you are turning, let me make a couple of comments. Could not be more pleased with just how everything went smoothly, and it's everybody doing their part. So appreciative for our staff and all that they do. We had a pastor last night about 9 o'clock, brought a small church, about 30 people, 40 people, and somebody that he's been witnessing to for 4 years, he said, brought two, and they both got saved last night. And he was there crying and just saying, my wife and I came all by ourselves last year. They live in Greensboro, and we felt these two people, if we could get them here, they'd get the gospel, and they got saved. And they're sitting there crying and saying, God answered our prayer. And we could tell you story after story after story. So thank you so much just for everything. Yeah, I mean, the guys that drove the tractor, they didn't wreck any tractors, so we're very thankful for them. Even the ones driving the green tractors, we're thankful for. The donuts literally were fantastic. I don't care if they're ugly or if they're pretty, they tasted good. The check-in people, the security people, all of them, the cooking beforehand, the hamburgers and hot dogs, just thank you for everything that you did. Two things, and we're going to jump to Psalm 145, and I'm not going to keep you here long. I just want to give you a couple of thoughts. There are tribulation trail signs all over the community that you and other people put out. It's time to take them up. And so it bothers me when people have signs out of dates past. So it doesn't matter if you put that sign out or if somebody put that sign out that you have no, it doesn't matter if they're in their yard. If they have a tribulation trail sign, go get it. If you get shot, tell them, no, Pastor Jackson gave me permission to get this sign up, and let's get all of these signs in. Throw them away. Put them in the back of your truck. Put something over it. But if you will help us get that, that way we're not being a poor testimony. Secondly, so thankful for Brother Matt. He pulls everything together for this. Brother Matt is going on a two-week vacation starting next week. Problem is, he can't leave until he gets the camp cleaned up, the gym down there area cleaned up. So if you have a couple of hours this week, you could come by and just help him do that. They are going out west, and they're going to have a wonderful time, and they want to leave on time. So if you can give him 2 hours, that will be wonderful. Psalm 145 this morning. We've heard testimonies. We've sung praises to the Lord. And I just want to give you a challenge. That's what you were created to do. Very simply, you weren't created to be a mechanic. You weren't created to be a construction guy. Your first and primary job is to be a praiser of the Lord Jesus. Look at Psalm 145, verse 1. I will extol thee, my God, O King. Praise is to be personal. I will. A determined vow David made. I'm going to praise the Lord. Praise was his choice. It's my choice based upon my will. I'm going to praise the Lord. Now a lot of us, by our will, we are complainers. By our will, if something doesn't go right, I'm going to gripe. I don't like it. One of my favorite restaurants in the world, some of you are not going to believe this, I love the Waffle House. Now, Tracy doesn't love the Waffle House. I love the Waffle House. We can take you to the, I mean, just being in there with the grease flowing through the air. I mean, it's just a time to praise the Lord. Some of you crossing your arms, my hash browns are not crispy enough. Or he says, I will extol. Extol means to lift high. It means to elevate. And notice, my God, it flows out of a personal relationship. My king, David was king over Israel. God was king over David. And he says, what is this? I will bless your name. Now, we're good at grumbling. We're good at complaining. I don't like this. Too hot, too cold. It's raining out there. The leaves aren't falling. Too many leaves are falling. We are good with complaining and griping and cursing. He said, not me. I'm going to praise the Lord. Going to make much of my king. Notice what it says in the last part. Forever and ever. Praising God presently is a prelude for praising God forever and ever and ever. It will change your marriage. It will change your parenting. It will change your work environment. Instead of you going in, I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. That's not right. That's not right. If you'll just say, I'm going to find something to praise the Lord about. Now, I realize I'm talking to Baptists. Baptists need to hear it. Amen? We're not going to just go around and be negative cynics. We're going to go around and just praise the Lord. Two birds fly over the nation's deserts every day. The hummingbird and the vulture. Both of them. The vulture is looking for something that's dead and dying and decaying and stinking. The hummingbird's looking for something that's alive, that's budding, that's fruitful. Both birds find what they're looking at, what they're looking for. The fact is, we all do. You want to find something to complain about in your marriage? You can. If you want to find something, where's my hanky, to praise the Lord about? You can. You don't have to wave your hanky, but come on. David says, I was created to praise the Lord. And you are as well. Number one, the duration of praise. I'm going to praise him forever and ever and ever. You can't start praising the Lord yesterday. You can only start praising the Lord today. I'm going to praise him today, and I'm going to do it tomorrow and next week. I'm going to be a praiser, the duration of praise. Look at the dependability of praise. Verse 2, every day will I bless thee. I encourage you. Set the alarm on your phone for 6 past the hour. And every hour, I got another something to praise the Lord. I got another something to praise the Lord. Nay, we have been conditioned, we have been programmed by our society to complain, to grouch, to gripe, to bellyache. David says, not me. Every day will I bless you, Lord. I will praise your name, and he says it again, forever and ever and ever. When he arrived in heaven, some of you aren't going to like this. When he arrived in heaven, he didn't have to take the remedial class on praise. I'm not asking you if you had ever had to take a remedial class. We called it in college bonehead English. If you didn't pass that exam, you had to take remedial English. Some of you, you're going to have to take the remedial class on praise because you think, hurry up with this song. Why did he have us repeat that chorus again? Why did he drop out all the instruments? And you just gripe. Hey, you deserve hell. You deserve the judgment of God. You deserve to spend eternity separated from God Almighty. And what does he do? He gives you love. He gives you mercy. He gives you his grace, his unmerited favor. If there should be people that are giddy in the whole world, it should be saved people. Hey, I'm going to praise him at 6:06 and 7:06 and 8:06 and 9:06 and 10:06 and 11:06 and 12:06. And I'm going to praise him till I go to bed. And then I'm going to stop praising because I'm going to be snoring. Hey, every day, the dependability of praise. Number three, notice the direction of praise. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. I could go through the whole verse. I'm just going to bring out one phrase. God is great. Amen? There is nothing. It is unsearchable. You can search forever. You can say it every hour of every day, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and you're never going to scratch the surface of how great he is. But listen, the response of God being great. You see what it says? And greatly to be praised. Now, I wish we had it on, if we filmed you today. Would you say you greatly praised today? Moderately praised today? Or poorly praised today? Now, I can understand if you like the Tar Heels, not praising greatly. Wolfpack, I get it. Not a lot to praise the Lord about. God is. His greatness is unsearchable. Hey, I don't care if you have a hanky and wave it, but what does greatly to be praised look like? Forever and ever and ever. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We should be praising the Lord. Hey, we just saw 174 people come to know the Lord. If ever was a day that we should be waving hankins and shouting and running the aisles. This Sunday, you know what, 174 people. If every one of these spots was full, this many people, and not all, some of them were assurance, this many people in this section didn't know that they were saved before the last weekend. This weekend they do. That's what 174 people look like. And he is greatly, that means smiling for some of you, because when it comes to saying you just got your head down, hands in your pocket. Hands are not made to be in your pocket. Hands are made wave to wave. Praise the Lord. You're going to do it in heaven. His greatness is unsearchable. And the response, he is greatly to be praised. Look at number 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Do you realize you're teaching your kids how to praise the Lord? We don't sing. We just come and stare at the screen and wait for the music to be over. Listen, I don't care if you carry a tune in the bucket. He's worthy to be praised. Come in here and just get in. Hey, he's worthy. If you're on right tune, wrong tune, you're on the right tune with Jesus. Hey, hey, you're teaching your kids. Oh, not much. We get excited on Saturday for football, but not on Sunday for God. I don't get that. My grandpa makes me look like a deadhead battery. Literally, this week we got somebody send us some money for Truth for Today. Literally. Send us some money. I'm surprised they sent us some money. Send us some money, and then he put a note to tell that preacher, I like being a deadhead Baptist. I started to write him back and say, you won't be in heaven. My grandpa was a shouter. My grandpa was a runner. People say, oh, you're too fired up. I inherited it. I was taught it. His greatness is unsearchable, and he is greatly to be praised. Hey, you're not going to shut me up, because my God is still alive. He's still on the throne. He's still sheltering me in his arms. So let the storms rage high. I'm going to shout, and I'm going to praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. One more. The declaration of praise. When you start praising at work, you start praising in your marriage, you start praising at family altar time with your devotions with your kids, it leads, hey, you got the same coworkers I got. You got the same bad boss I got. You got the same issues in our government that I got. Why are you so happy? Verse 5, I will speak. When you're praising and they can't figure out 706, 806, 906, 1006, your alarm goes off and you say, hey, let me praise Jesus for this. My heart's beating. I want to praise the Lord for that. Lord got me here today. I want to praise him for that. And they come and say, what got into you? And you say, Jesus got into me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you see? Praise leads to witnessing. Praise leads to testimony. Praise leads to salvations. The reason you're not seeing change at your job site, or change in your marriage, or change with your kids, you're not praising. David says, I was created to praise the Lord. I speak of the glorious honor of your majesty, of thy wondrous works. A lot of wondrous works. Parted the Red Sea, caused the sun to stand still. Scientists still can't figure that one out. Moses spoke to the rock, and the water came out. Hey, that's pretty great. The greatest, his wondrous works. Jesus dying on an old rugged cross for your sin and for mine. He coming up out of that grave, wondrous works. You got something to praise Jesus about. Question is, does the cat got your tongue? Young 20-something-year-old kid coming out of college, took this sales job, like I did, 21, took this sales job, and he could not make the sale. Tried selling for like a week. Couldn't sell anything. Goes to talk to his uncle. His uncle's a marketing guy. He said, "What am I doing wrong? Nobody wants to buy my product. Can you help me?" He says, "I'm literally at the point. You can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." And the uncle looked at him. He said, "Son, it's not your job to make the horse drink. It's your job to make the horse thirsty. When he gets thirsty, he'll be drinking. Not your job to make people accept the Lord. It's your job to make them thirsty for the Lord." You say, "How do I do it?" Folks, if I love you a lot. If there ever was a weekend for us to be praising and shouting it out, this is it. Oh, Janice Dortch, first night, we're leading people to the Lord, and it's starting slow, and she says, "Can my ministry be on this weekend and next weekend? Just let me go into the back room over there, and let me just praise Jesus by faith that we're going to see people saved. Will you give me permission just to go and praise the Lord the whole time?" I was like, "Go and start right now." And we saw more people make decisions this weekend than we've ever in the history of Beulah Baptist Church. Why? People are praising. That's what you were created for. You want to do it with a hanky? I need some help around here. If you don't want